For years, local forager Pascal Baudard has been pushing the envelope of wild-gathered flavors. His journey has continued to focus on unique ways to use the natural materials he finds, opening minds to what is possible, and discovering deliciousness in surprising places and techniques. Pascal's first two books on fermentation covered yeast fermentation in the wildcrafting brewer and lactic acid fermentation in wildcrafted fermentation. The third book of his trilogy, Wildcrafted Vinegar, focuses on acetic acid ferments. Hi, Pascal.
Bonjour.
It's so great to talk to you again.
I know it's been a while.
It has been a while. You say in the book that the rabbit hole of wildcrafted vinegars is endless. Just to give us an idea, how many do you have on your shelves right now, more or less?
Right now, I don't have that many. I probably have like 12, but I know I remember when I was writing the book, I had more than 36 on my shelf.
That's just astounding.
That is a different one.
So just give some, just reel off some names for us so we get an idea of the breadth of what one is able to do.
Oh my God, I had elderberry wine vinegar, blackberry wine vinegar, white elderberry wine vinegar, not regular, but wild grapes vinegar. So, I mean, every berries, every mugwort beer, I do a lot of crazy beers with plants that I find in the forest. So, you know, mugwort beer vinegar was one, yarrow beer vinegar, you know, and the list goes on. It's just, if you can make something alcoholic or boozy, you can turn it into vinegar.
Okay, so what is the relationship between alcohol and vinegar?
Well, if you deal with wild yeast, when you collect wild yeast, or if you do a fermentation with wild yeast, meaning by that you don't use commercial yeast, which are usually composed of a very specific strain of yeast, the wild yeast always has some acetobacter as part of the culture. And the acetobacter is the bacteria that can turn your alcohol into vinegar. If you make a wild ferment and the ferment is not too alcoholic, meaning by that it has to stay within 3-9% alcohol, then over time, automatically it will turn into vinegar.
And what exactly is vinegar?
Vinegar is basically just acetic acid and water. And of course, if you do like a red wine vinegar or elderberry wine vinegar, then you also have some organic compound that create the flavor.
So most of your vinegars are made from homemade alcohol bases. Do we need to do that? And if not, what are some materials we could use just to start creating our own vinegars?
Oh my God, it's so easy. You just go to the regular store and you can take, for example, a bottle of red wine and you go into the section for the vinegar and you buy some unpasteurized vinegar. A good example would be the brand Braggs, B-R-A-G-G-S. And what you have to do, if you take a look at the wine on the label, it usually tells you the amount of alcohol inside. For wine, it's usually anywhere between 12-14%, which is too high to make vinegar. So I always tell people, just take a bottle of wine or half a bottle of wine, and then you add the same amount of water. So you transfer, let's say, one bottle in a jar, and then a bottle of wine, and then you take a bottle of water, and then you transfer that with the wine. So basically, now you have diluted wine anywhere between 6-7% alcohol, which is perfect. And then you add like maybe by volume, maybe like 20% unpasteurized vinegar. And then you cover that with a paper towel and a rubber band. You're done. You have nothing to do at this point. You just wait for, you know, within 3 weeks, 2-3 weeks, you should have a mother on top. And you just continue the fermentation for maybe 6 weeks. Then you can boil your vinegar. You're done. That easy.
So do we just, in order to pasteurize the vinegar, which basically stops the action of it continuing to transform, do we just boil it? That's it?
You can, but you know, at this point, I don't even pasteurize my vinegars. I keep them raw.
Yeah, but you have to really use them. You have to use them.
Yeah, I mean, I use them and I bottle them. And what I do is I make sure when I bottle them that I make the bottle very, very, very full. If you think about it, you can go to the store and you can buy unpasteurized vinegar, Bragg's, and sometimes it's been on the shelf for like 4 or 5 months. It's not a big deal.
That's true. That's true. So as we get into vinegar making, where should we start? You talk about three different methods in the book, and the second method you talk about is raw fermentation. So
right.
How is that different?
So raw fermentation is you basically use the natural process. For example, I would make an elderberry wine, and I use raw juice of elderberry in order to make the wine. So it's basically an alcoholic fermentation using the natural wild yeast on it. Now, because I didn't boil the juice, basically the yeast and the acetobacter will be both present right there. So first you get the alcoholic fermentation, and then automatically, if you use the right amount of sugar, so you don't go above 9% alcohol, automatically then it will turn into vinegar. It's usually like 3 or 4 weeks of alcoholic fermentation, and then slowly will turn into vinegar. And within 6 to 8 weeks, you get a natural vinegar.
Okay, so now let's talk about fruit fly vinegar. Tell us about the epiphany that you had about fruit flies.
Oh my God, that's an amazing one. My friend, used to give me bottles of elderberry wine, and she didn't know too much about alcoholic fermentation, so she actually did an open fermentation, meaning by that she would leave the bottle without cork and let the fermentation happen. And automatically it will turn into vinegar. And it was fascinating to me because she does boil the juice. In America, when people do elderberry wine, they actually boil the juice. In Europe, we don't. The fermentation actually take care of any thing that can, I think there's a little bit of cyanide, but the chemical compound gets altered during the fermentation process. Anyway, she boiled the juice and then will do the fermentation in the bottle, and an open bottle, so no airlock, no nothing. And automatically it will turn into vinegar. And I was fascinated. I didn't understand until at one point I really took a look at the bottom of the bottle, and it was full of fruit flies. And I went like, oh my God. But it was kind of an epiphany for me. I went like, this could be the actual solution of turning something into vinegar. And I did some research online and in books, and guess what? I found an old method from the Middle Ages, an old book. I don't even remember where I found it, but it was a way of making vinegar in the Middle Ages where people will take honey and water and leave it outside and let the fruit fly get in. And after a while, they will pick up the madder vinegar and use that to make more vinegar. So basically, the fruit flies have the bacteria on their feet and in their guts, the acetobacter bacteria. So it's another way of making vinegar, which is completely kind of like gross and disgusting, but it works.
Amazing. So in terms of making unusual vinegars, I saw lots of prickly pears at the market last week. Can we use those to make vinegar?
Oh, totally. Totally. And I've used the method, the natural, fermentation alcoholic, which turns into vinegar automatically. It makes the most incredible, beautiful, fluorescent pink vinegar. I absolutely love it.
So when you have a vinegar like that as a finished product, how do you use it?
One of the main uses that would be, for example, quick pickles. And you don't have to be a wild crafter, by the way. I mean, you can learn to make those vinegar and do a quick pickle of carrots. On my side, I do, wild ferment using cattail, for example. I do salad dressing. I do condiments. I mean, you love that mustard. Remember, I do the mustard.
The mustard is Dijon the best. Mustard. The best mustard I've ever had.
Good. Well, I use wild vinegar to do it.
But you also use wild mustard seeds.
I know.
They're very tiny. You have to collect a lot.
It's very time-consuming, but I got to tell you that the flavors, you cannot compare a vinegar you're making at home with a vinegar that you're going to buy at the store. It is so much better. And then on top of it, if you use, if you're a wild crafter and you actually can use, alcohol that you make with wild berries and stuff, it's a brand new universe in terms of flavor.
Thank you so much, Pascal.
You are totally welcome.
Pascal Baudard's latest book is Wildcrafted Vinegars. If you're curious about fermentation or wild foods, you should check out his previous books too. If you want to try making your own unpasteurized vinegar at home, head to kcrw.com/goodfood to find Pascal's recipe. Coming up, if you have bought ground meat in the last year, you're going to want to hear this next story. Stay with us.